House come to order if members can take their seats.
This budget is a huge job maker, and the number one solution to economic insecurity is a job.
Hungry children can't learn, and it's our responsibility to try to help.
Equality and opportunity.
I believe most people are here because they want to do some good.
This is your lucky day because you found a brand new episode of Capital Ideas. It's the podcast where members of the majority Democrats in the Washington State House of Representatives sit down at the Capitol and talk about ideas. The 2026 session of the legislature is well underway, and we're getting a better idea of which bills are making it through the committee process that can usher their way to a floor vote and maybe propel them all the way to the governor's desk. Today, we're fortunate to have Democratic Representative April Berg as our guest, and the focus is mostly on her bill creating the Washington State Boys and Men Commission. Representative Berg lives in Mill Creek, and she's in her sixth year as a state lawmaker, courtesy of her friends and neighbors in the 44th Legislative District. We recorded this on Friday, January 30th, 2026, and here goes. Welcome to Capital Ideas, Representative April Berg from the 44th Legislative District up in Snohomish County.
It's Snohomish County.
You live in Mill Creek, and today we're in Olympia recording Capital Ideas. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah, it has been a little while. I've really enjoyed talking to you before. I think today's going to be the same way. Often on Capital Ideas, it's kind of a freewheeling situation where we might hit on 10 different topics during the course of 20 minutes. Today, I think that we want to talk about one particular item, which is your sponsorship of something called the Washington State Boys and Men Commission. Since that's never existed before, let's talk about what it is.
Well, thank you for having me back on your show. The Washington State Boys and Men's Commission, it's an idea that I've seen introduced for most of the years that I've been here. About a year ago, I decided to get involved in the stakeholdering and advocacy of having a commission. State Representative Mary Dye had been introducing a bill each year that discussed starting a Washington State Boys and Men's Commission. But I think because of my lived experience, I felt like we probably need to go in a different direction.
My guess is that when some people hear about this, they think, great, another government task force or committee or subcommittee that's going to do some things that will come to naught. Some people are cynical about government. What is going to happen in this commission?
Yeah, and that's a great question. So we do already have existing commissions. We have commissions that address certain issues around different ethnic groups. We have a women's commission. We have an LGBTQ commission. These commissions are very important, and they do very important work. The work they do tends to center around specific issues in community, and they go where the data leads. What I found for our young men, there was nothing that spoke specifically to them in terms of commission. So I'll give you an example. As a woman and as a Black woman, I see myself in the Women's Commission. I see myself in the African American Affairs Commission. And those are very important, and I don't think one should exist without the other. As a Black woman, I am very blessed that I have two different avenues to see issues and policy prescriptions coming from those commissions that address needs in my life. For our boys and men, there just wasn't a place. And I definitely want to, you know, set the foundational kind of framework of where we're coming from. We've got a crisis. Our boys and men make up about 50% of our population. And in very specific ways, they are in crisis. In our educational system, their performance is lower than girls in certain areas. Their college attendance is lower. They are overrepresented in our criminal justice system, overrepresented in our juvenile detention system and rehabilitation system. There's economic despair. There is a sense of loss and a sense of not belonging and a sense of isolation. And when I talk to community providers across our state, it was the same thing. Our boys and men are in trouble. We need to do something. We don't know what we should do, but we want to do something. So the commission's going to provide a place for us to accumulate data, look at certain areas, and see where state policy could be changed or where there might be areas where we can set up different scaffolding to help our boys and men in community.
This commission, one of the charges of the commission will be to come up with ideas for legislation. I suppose at that point they, in one way or another, communicate their desire for a particular bill. Mm-hmm. What else do they do? I'm not familiar with the commission structure. Do they work with the Department of Health? Do they work with the Department of Transportation and help them just kind of tweak their regulations as opposed to statutory changes?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And it's almost a yes and answer. When I look at the commissions and the work they do, they tend to center around maybe certain issue areas or subject areas. And so one thing I've been really clear about, this commission is not a panacea. This is not a silver bullet that is going to solve our boys and men's crisis. This is a commission that is going to shed light, accumulate data, and have some policy prescriptions that come that will help our boys and men in community. And it's important to understand that this is not a zero-sum game. It's not a panacea. This is a first step, and it's an important step. And so as we look at the other commissions and the work they've done, a lot of it is around education and advocacy. A lot of it is around bringing light to certain issues that are affecting certain communities. And so there's going to be a lot of intersections with the Boys and Men's Commission with all of our existing commissions because none of us exist in a silo.
Let me put you on the spot here, if you don't mind. Do you have a personal viewpoint on why there exists such a disparity between boys and men and, on the other side, girls and women? It's not new. Mm-hmm. It seems to be more marked, and there are more metrics to prove this. Mm-hmm. But I think the intuition has been there for a long time. What's the deal?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I will be honest. This is a bill. And I'm sitting here thinking, this is probably the only bill I've put forth where I don't already know what the answer should be. As a policymaker, I might not always be right, but I always have an idea of, this is probably what we should do. This commission is so important to me because I'm a mom. I have a young Black son. He's not young anymore. He's 30, so he's young to me. and I'm also the widow of a man who committed suicide. So I bring that lived experience to this space. And both through being a mom and being a widow, I can tell you I don't know the answer, but I do know we have a problem. And so creating a commission to address the problem without already pre-writing the answer, I think that that's some of the most important work we're going to do. When I look at other states that are addressing this crisis in different ways, Michigan, California, Maryland, they're doing it from the executive level. They're asking a lot of questions. I know California is focusing on mentorship. There's a lot of good answers out there. There's not going to be one answer. But this commission is our state's way of saying, okay, let's start bringing folks to the table. Let's bring our YMCA. Let's bring our big brothers, big sisters. Let's figure out who's out there and what the problem is and how do we solve it. The other part of your question was, what's causing this, right? Why do we have this issue? So one area that I've seen in our state that's unique is our tech economy. I'm not saying that our tech economy is causing a crisis in our boys and men, but I am saying technology is causing a crisis of isolation and lack of belonging with our boys and our young men. And we see that in some of the rage and rage baiting we see online. This is not anything that you can't see with your naked eye. But I do think we have a unique responsibility in our state to address it as a state. That's another question I've been asked is why the state? Why can't some organization come in and just, fix it? I think it's important for our state to acknowledge who we are and what we do. And frankly, what we do well, we do tech well. But there are some real downsides to it. I moved here about 30 years ago, and I was told even back then, the Seattle freeze, right? You're not going to be able to make friends. It's so hard here. Everybody's just so isolated and alone. It's gotten worse in the last 30 years. And I look at that, and I look at our young men, and that isolation, that lack of belonging, that constant push by tech, that addictive nature of tech to go down rabbit holes of rage. And it is just the perfect storm, and we really do have a responsibility as a state to address it.
What kind of pushback do you anticipate or have you already experienced? Mm-hmm. Everything is opposed by somebody.
Absolutely. I've got a lot of pushback, and I think, I use that pushback as opportunities for conversations. I came into this space with my lived experience, and you know, I'm known on this campus as a tax lady. So a lot of people went, why is the tax lady doing this thing? This is some pretty big policy lift. But after hearing my lived experience, a lot of my colleagues said, oh, okay, I get at least why you're doing it. And then the question becomes, is there a problem? I've had that pushback. You know, is there really a problem? I mean, I've heard, you know, men get everything. And I think, you know, we can go down a list of, you know, things based on gender, race, socioeconomic. Any community you go into and you find the wealthiest, richest, most successful person, they will always tell you about the 10 people they look up to that they feel like they're less than, right? I mean, so I really try to position this as not a zero-sum game. So that's been a little bit of the pushback of, you know, why are we doing this for boys and men? There's not a problem. Well, the statistics show, factually, there is a problem. And so that's been one of the retorts that I give when folks say we just don't have a problem. Some of the pushback has been, frankly, there's a lot of different folks who agree we have a problem, but we maybe don't agree on how to address it. I'm very community-minded. I think it's going to take a big tent approach. I think we can't leave anybody outside that tent. One of the first things I did was reach out to our existing commissions and to let them know that this is not, I don't want to take away from any of the work they're doing. I even made the commitment that if dollars were on the line and it was going to be, okay, this new commission's going to have to split the dollars up, I'd kill my own bill. I'm not. The existing commissions are doing a fantastic job, and this should be additive and not detract from any of their work. And then I think some of the other pushback has just been, you know, why now? We're in a budget deficit. We've got some hard stuff going on. Why now? And so with that, I answered with a unique funding structure that's built into the bill that I really think can be successful, and it might open the door for other commissions in the future to use a similar structure.
I think that is unique, isn't it, that this, at least the first 3 years of the existence of this commission, are to be funded by gifts.
Gifts,
not taxes.
That's right. And I will say, you know, from the onset, I spoke with all the existing commissioners to let them know this was going on, so this won't be a surprise to any of them. And most, I can't say all, but I think most of our commissions can receive gifts and grants as well. So this is not something that's going to be special for our commission. The special part of it is that the state won't have any finance, fiscal skin in the game, if you will, for about 3 years. The 3 years also provides us a time to look back. There'll be a deliverable at the end of it. We can see if this is working. Maybe the structure is doing well and we keep it. Maybe the state wants to get some skin in the game. And maybe we put it to sleep. You know, maybe it's something that we just isn't working the way we think it should. Again, I'm going into this unlike any other bill. I actually don't know the answer. I know the problem. I know the problem really well, really personally. And I know that as policymakers, we have a responsibility to address the problem. But I have not predetermined what the solutions or what the commission will come up with.
I want to interject here for a second and say this bill had a public hearing last week. For anybody who doesn't hang around at the Capitol, that's a situation where the sponsor of the bill and various citizens who are concerned with the bill come and talk to the members of the committee that is considering whether or not to vote for this bill to move farther on in the process. That vote is scheduled for this morning. It may be taking place while we're sitting here. And if we don't hear before Representative Berg has to take off, I will add that at the close of the show, which I will record later in the day. And by then we'll know whether or not this bill was voted up by the House State Government Committee.
Thank you so much for that. And if you heard a slight buzz, it was my phone. So I've asked to be notified if it does pass while we're taping. I don't think we'll get that lucky, but it is up for executive session this morning.
This adds kind of an air of suspense that Capital Ideas generally doesn't contribute to the world. Representative Berg, I want to give you a chance here to sum up the Boys and Men Commission conversation, if you want to, if you don't feel like we've already put a cap on that. But I also want to ask you a little bit about your, I would say, primary role here in the legislature, which is you're one of the four fiscal horsemen, meaning you chair one of the four big committees that has to do with dollar bills. How are things going in the Finance Committee? And I know that's as loaded a question as it's possible to ask.
Yeah, no, it's like a bill title that you could just drive a truck through. So in lieu of putting 100 amendments on it, I'll keep it kind of brief. But no, things are going, you know, they're busy for a short session. This is my sixth year here. And it is probably as busy as I have seen it for a short session. We are coming back in with a deficit, not quite as large as last year, but something that we really have to noodle on. So working with the budget chairs, working with colleagues just to make some tough decisions. I think you'll see some unique revenue ideas, but I think what you're going to really hear this year from House Finance is structure, talking about tax structure, how and who we tax, and what we tax. And I think that's important. I think last session, we passed a lot of revenue bills that contributed to new tax policy. I'm hoping this year to really focus on tax structure and building out sustainable, progressive tax policy that we can look back in 50, 60 years and say we did a really good job of giving our state good tax structure, taxing in a progressive way with long-term stability in mind.
Well, I hope that 50 or 60 years from now, some of the people saying that will be healthier men and they will be raising healthier boys along with their partners. Representative April Berg, I think we've done it for today. I appreciate you coming by Capital Ideas. We've been talking with Representative April Berg from the 44th Legislative District, and I've enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
Well, we promised to include the results of the committee vote if they were available before today's Capital Ideas was posted, and I have the envelope right here. Shortly after we wrapped up our conversation, the House State Government and Tribal Relations Committee voted in favor of sending Representative April Berg's HB 2401 to the House Rules Committee with a do-pass recommendation. Rules is the last step before a vote of the full House, and at this point, the future looks bright for the creation of the Boys and Men Commission here in Washington State. If you got something out of today's Capital Ideas, I hope you'll subscribe and keep an eye out for future episodes, which are going to come fast and thick throughout the legislative session. I'm Dan Frizzell for the Washington State House Democrats, putting people first since 1889, and we're just getting started. Thanks for your time.